On this episode of the Take It a Walk series, we go to the theater in Boston. Well, sort of. We're syncing up with Ann Sheehan, the Senior Director of Public Relations and Community Relations at Broadway in Boston. Ann is a longtime Bostonian with a passion for all that goes on in Boston, including the arts and the theater, and I can't wait to be taking a walk with Ann.
Taking a walk with Buzz Knight.
Now, Ann and I start the episode by taking a walk in the theater district. Hello, Ann Sheehan.
Good morning, Buzz. Glad to be here with you today on an almost 60-degree day.
It's so cool. I love great walking cities. Where do you like to walk when you're in Boston or in the vicinity?
You know, I feel like I've spent so much time on Washington Street. Growing up in the city, I grew up in Dorchester, and on the weekends, my mother and I would come in every weekend, and we would get off at Washington Street Station, hit Jordan Marsh for a muffin, walk all around, up and down, do a little shopping. And as the years went on, I kept finding myself in this neighborhood. I used to get the bus to Brighton every day to go to my high school, Mount St. Joseph Academy in Brighton. And as, you know, life continues, I decided to go to Suffolk University and spent 4 years running all around this part of town, you know, up and down the Commons, up through Beacon Hill, you know, for four really great years. And during that time, you know, I was working for the Red Sox. I was a young woman just starting my career. I worked on the ground crew and the ticket office, so I would hop on the train at Park Street over to Fenway Park and spent 9 years over there in various capacities. And just the start of my career really was, you know, Fenway Park and the Red Sox were kind of the catalyst of all of that. So I've spent a lot of time around here.
You were on the ground crew.
I was. I worked for...
How cool was that?
It was amazing. My girlfriend was working there. Her brother, my girlfriend Lynn, her brother Eddie was, you know, kind of one of the head ground crew guys over there. And she used to clean the offices. And she and I had known each other since we were like 3 or 4, 5, something like that, you know, as a lot of us city people do.
Yeah.
We all grew up together and we never leave each other in our neighborhoods and friends for life. And so she basically, you know, I said to her, I'd love to get a job over there. And she got me a job. And at the time, her brother used to work on the ground crew, but he also used to drive Mrs. Yockey, who was the owner at the time, to and from games. And you know, it was just a great, great time in my life.
And as we're walking, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, and we see a Boston Red Dogs hot dog cart
That's right.
being wheeled around here. It was sort of serendipitous at that moment, by the way.
That's right. And I'm a pescatarian, so those days are over for me.
I was thinking, are those fresh?
Yeah, well, that's always the question. My husband has a funny story. If he ever goes to a fair, he says, you have to go to the fair on the first 2 days because they don't change the grease.
Right. Now, I have a feeling there's another person also who was a mutual friend who was on the Taking a Walk series that I think you probably know, John Tobin from Laugh Boston.
I've known John for years, many, many years. I think about when I get into this business and I met him, and he's just done so well. And you know, we've had a working relationship with John through the years. You know, as you know, he presents comedy, and we worked with him many years ago, but we continue to have a long-standing relationship with John. He's just, you know, he's a dynamo. I don't know how he does it.
But what's with the spirit of people who grew up in Boston? It's a difficult place at times to live, right? I mean, I didn't grow up here. I grew up in Stamford, Connecticut. So Boston can be difficult, certainly, with the weather, traffic, blah, blah, blah. But what is it about the fabric of people from Boston? Explain this to me. Or as Ricky Ricardo used to say, explain it to me.
Explain it to me. I just think that, you know, when we're in, you're growing up in neighborhoods, you know, you're growing up together. There's just so much, you know, hanging out, running around. You're, you know, going to grade school together. You're going to high school together. You know, there's just long-standing relationships there, family, friends, lifelong family friends. My mother knows your mother, you know. And even when you do part, you're always still connected in some way. And I just think that I love the spirit of Bostonians. I have lifelong friends that I've known for years and years. And I just feel like, you know, when you grow up in a neighborhood, you know, you go to church together, you have Sunday dinners, you go to the neighbor's house for Christmas Eve or whatever. And I just think it's just extremely, extremely special.
I took a walk with Greg Hill from WEEI, radio mm-hmm. personality, formerly WAAF. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you know, Greg has the Greg Hill Foundation that he has, yep. where he does the great work. And Greg said something that I think you'll agree with, which he said, he believes the generosity of people from Boston exceeds anywhere that he can ever, you know, imagine. Would you agree with that?
I couldn't agree with it more. I mean, when people are in need, it's amazing, not just, you know, a couple of people, how an entire community will rise to support that person, do everything and anything they can. I mean, I've known for just my own personal experiences, you know, I had a sister who was very ill, the support that we got from the neighborhood and around the city was unbelievable. You just couldn't believe everybody who came out. I mean, my sister had caretakers, 20 women that were helping us care for us, my sister at the time when she was very ill with cancer. And, you know, it's just, these are things that you just never forget. And people rise up. They really rise to the occasion here. I really feel like there's no excuses. There's no excuses. It's, you know, it's not if you're going to show up, it's when you're going to show up, you know? So yeah, I absolutely agree with Greg. There's so many people in this town doing such good work and are so generous. It's unreal.
And what do you say to the outsiders that make fun of the Boston accents?
Well, it depends on the day of the week, like everything. You know, some days people love the accent and other days they do not. But it is who we are.
Yeah, that's right.
And we will never apologize.
And notice I was laughing. I said I grew up in Stamford, Connecticut. Excuse me. Sorry. But I was also laughing because many times people will say to me, well, I know you didn't grow up there, but you have that accent.
Yeah. You know what? Not bad. Not bad. Not bad. I remember years ago when I was younger, I was a little self-conscious of it because everybody had a lot to say about it, or they couldn't understand what I was saying. And I have a dear friend who's from Long Island, and when we get together, oh boy, between the Boston accent and the Long Island accent, it's something.
I love it. So how did you end up at Broadway in Boston?
You know, it's something that, you know, when they say sometimes you just land, you do. You know, I started to say that, you know, when I went to college, I worked in sports for a long time. And I was a young woman, and then the baseball strike of, I think it was 94, and so a lot of people lost their jobs, and it was so devastating because I was a very young woman, and I was hoping to continue my career there and all of that. And, you know, life just hands you certain cards that you have to deal with. So I moved on, and, you know, from there I ended up working at a family homeless shelter in East Boston, which was the best experience of my life. And I, to this day, still reflect on it all the time. It was just such an incredible experience, and I met so many incredible people, and I spent about a year and a half there. And then, you know, I wanted to get back into the entertainment business, and so there was a job opening at Boston Ballet, and I applied, and it was audience development, and sure enough, I interviewed with this woman who would become my mentor, an extraordinary, extraordinary woman.
Who was that?
Her name was Regan Byrne, and she left the ballet, and she basically came over here to develop the Broadway and Boston brand. So when she was doing this, she, you know, like anything, when you start, it's always very small in terms of staff. So she was hiring just a few folks to come over and join the team. And she said, do you want to come over and do a little Broadway? And I said, yes, I do. And so we developed the brand. We you know, the gentleman who hired us, at the time, he had the lease on the Colonial and the Wilbur, and he owned the Charles Playhouse. His name is John Platt. He's one of the producers of Wicked, multiple-time Tony Award-winning producer, someone we're still very much in touch with, and someone I care about very deeply. And, you know, we started our career here. I went from, you know, the hallowed grounds of Fenway Park to this beautiful world. It took some adjusting, I'm not gonna lie. It took me a while to stop calling intermission halftime. So once we get past that though, you know, it took us several years to develop the brand. And it was the best time. I mean, to be on the ground floor of something that is gonna impact your city so big. And, you know, we just continue to grow and grow and grow. We grew our subscription program. We grew our group sales program. We grew our sponsorship program. We grew our relationships with the media. You know, and basically, you know, all of that had been outsourced. And we felt like we just didn't have that relationship with, one, the city, because these are touring productions. So, you know, in terms of Broadway and Boston shows, they're touring productions. They come in for a couple weeks, could be 2 weeks, could be 9 weeks, depending on whatever. But we felt like we really needed to deepen and solidify our relationships with our audiences, with the media, our partners at the radio stations, all of that. So, and that's what we did. And it took some years, and I will say Broadway in Boston was the first Broadway Inn across the country, and you can find them pretty much everywhere, you know, under the Broadway Across umbrella. That's our parent company, Broadway Across America, rather. Umbrella. So it's been quite a journey, you know. It's been really quite a journey. And for a kid from Dorchester, you know, whose first show was Annie at the Schubert Theater, you know, it was unexpected, a pleasant surprise. You know, it's a privilege. It's a privilege.
When we think about the world that we live in, mm-hmm. and we think about you know, very difficult times that we've been through and that we're going through. How important is the arts and the theater to Bostonians and everywhere else that, you know, places like, you know, Broadway and Boston are?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the city of Boston is such a vibrant, extraordinary arts community. I mean, whether it's Broadway, our neighbors next door at the Majestic, Colonial, the Wang, there's so much happening downtown. And it's all so critical to the health and growth and development of the city. It's important. Arts are basically people. It's about people. And, you know, it's, you know, in terms of theater, what's so special about theater is it's a communal experience. And, you know, what we learned over the past 2 years is how passionate audiences are, how much they love theater. And, you know, they've just been such a source in terms of I don't know what the exact word is, but they've just been such a wonderful support for all of us in the industry. It was a tough time during the pandemic. We're fortunate we reopened in the fall, and this house was sold out. 2,600 seats, you know, 2 weeks, and everybody came. They came, they were thrilled to be back. Yeah, I mean, the audiences here just love theater. And, you know, every year about 21 million or so, according to Arts Boston, 21 million people come down, you know, to see a arts and cultural show, you know, in the greater Boston area, which is, I want to say, 4 times more than all the sports teams together. So when we talk about impact and, you know, personally, economically, socially, the arts are critical. The arts are critical, you know, so...
Well, people like you are the, you know, part of the weight that make the wheels turn,
yeah.
Right? And you're on the ground all the time with it. You are such an important part of communicating that message out there, working with media partners, mm-hmm. Collaborating with your team, mm-hmm. and spreading the good word, not only of Broadway in Boston, but also just of Boston in general.
Absolutely. I mean, we're standing outside the Boston Opera House, which reopened its doors July 16th, 2004, with a 32-week engagement. I'm sure you remember this.
Yep.
It turned this entire neighborhood
around. It was, you know, it was an amazing, amazing experience. And to have a kind of a front row seat in a small part in that, you know, that lives in your heart. You know what I mean? And I think that's something when we talk about Bostonians, we're, I'll speak for myself, but I think it applies. We're an emotional group, I think. I think we're so passionate, you know? Look at us with sports, I mean, and theater and all of that. I think we're extremely passionate. And, you know, we're just so proud to be Bostonians. And so I think all of this, why? Because our city is just filled with riches. And starting with the people. Starting with the people. And then we go to the arts and this sports and education and health and... You know, we're blessed.
Yeah, we really are. It's a special place, and I'm just very grateful that with taking a walk, I've gotten to reconnect with old friends, but meet new friends like you and she, and so I really appreciate the time.
Oh, I just thank you for getting me away from my desk and for taking a walk.
Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.